Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another mind-altering, mind-opening episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And we are once again live on Facebook here so that we can educate and entertain. Edutainment, I believe that is the appropriate phrase that we are supposed to use. About Islam and the truth of Islam and what Islam really stands for, and of course everything else that has to do with the culture that we live in. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, once again, traveling and off-site, so we'll be looking at a lovely picture of him again this evening. Please welcome Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, peace and blessings be upon all our listeners across the globe and on Facebook Live. Yes, welcome to all our listeners for an could you say that again, Carl?
Edutainment.
Edutainment, informative, interactive session of Raw Islam with both Carl and I, Imam Azhar, as we are nearing the end of the year 2017. And in a few nights, in a few days, we'll be archiving this year in the annals of history. I think we have a mind-boggling discussion tonight that we want to spark discussion. We want to open minds and hearts, and we want to hear your voice either via email or you can type it below on the Facebook live stream. We want to hear from you and your thoughts as to what we're going to be discussing today. So Carl, we're in the midst of the holiday season. People are out and about. Families are getting together. It's what they call the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of the winter holidays. And you know what, Carl? That spirit does touch us. Does it touch you?
It does. And I honestly think that my take on it might be a little bit different because, you know, coming from as a Muslim convert, coming from that background, you know, my family still gets together. My family still celebrates. My family still enjoys. And so I have to remove myself from it a little bit, but still be there with the family and time with family and things like that. And, you know, let's be 100% honest. We all enjoy, at least as Americans, we all enjoy Christmas movies. I will say that I sat here last night and I watched Will Ferrell in Elf because Will Ferrell is absolutely amazing and wonderful. So, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it's hard to live in America and not have a little bit of experience, you know, some sort of experience with it, you know?
And I agree with you because, you know, it's not right if we just write off the feel and the vibe that one gets. Yes, it's a very moving vibe that you feel during these festivities. And again, it's not because you're celebrating something, if we just because of the fact that you believe in it, or you're abstaining from celebrating something because you don't believe in it. Rather, what I feel is that there is certain things that happen within this time of the year that allows us to experience something that we don't usually experience throughout the course of the year. And that is the sharing and the caring. The fact that people look up and look at each other and smile, the fact that people feel a sense of togetherness. This is just somewhat of a replica of what we discussed about Ramadan. That in Ramadan, there's a different vibe and a different feel. We're the same humans. It's the same time. Yes, the month brings about a certain level of importance and significance to certain days and nights, but it's the way we change our attitude and we approach it that makes all the difference. So what really makes a difference is that people are courteous. People are smiling. The sharing and the caring, as I stated before, these things are actually part and parcel of what human nature can bring about in our world. So yes, I'm not going to lie. The feel is somewhat interesting. The lights are sometimes mesmerizing. You see these new LED lights. There's three cars that I've seen here in Tampa thus far that they are laden with LED lights, and they're driving up and down the roads, and all you see is these lights flashing everywhere. So it's a good thing to see, I think.
No, I fully agree, because, you know, when I was living in Florida, the car lights were a big thing, and I always enjoyed that. It's a Florida thing, really. It does not necessarily just a Christmas thing, but it's definitely a Florida thing, and I like it. And let's say assalamu alaikum to Samira. Thank you for joining us this evening. And you know, I honestly, as a tech person, as a techie guy, I love the technology behind Christmas lights. I mean it, and it's not about, you know, oh, let's, you know, and I know this is gonna sound corny, but Jesus is the reason for the season. No, it's not about that. It's like my neighbors, my wife and I were talking about this, because my neighbors got something. It's this little light, and it projects snowmen, yep, and Santa Claus onto the side of the house. And so as my wife looked and I looked at that, we were like, okay, cool. How do we get one of those for Ramadan? Because that'd be awesome for Eid.
Actually, if you go to the stores, just FYI, they have multiple adjustments on those lights. You could actually turn them into Halloween lights or just basic lights that are for all festivities. So it's like a all-rounder type of light. I saw it at Lowe's the other day, just FYI. But yeah, we did that this year in our house. We kind of put some lights in the house for the kids, and we put a little bit of lights outside the house. But again, it's part and parcel of our joy of the festivities that we partake in and that we celebrate. I feel it's a beautiful thing. But that being said, Carl, we can talk about Christmas lights and the beauty of that, and we could talk about a lady, I don't know which state it was in, I was just reading the headline, she got a $3 something million electric bill because I don't know what transpired.
Oh,
there,
snap.
But I need to find out that article and really understand what that whole thing was about. Was it a mistake or what? But Carl, you know, it's the end of the year. 2017 is coming to a close. 2018 is right around the corner. So I feel there is something that we need to do in appreciation of the year, and that is to reflect on 2017 and somewhat strategize for 2018. And that's really what we're going to be talking about tonight here in our podcast. And I would like to begin by sharing with you an incident that occurred many, many months ago. I was talking to a sister of another faith, and we were having a conversation about faith. And she said to me, so what, why do you follow religion? Now understand here, I wanted my listeners also to understand this. It was her question on my response to her original question that left me baffled and mind boggled for many weeks and many months thereafter. Her question was, why do you follow faith? And I said, well, because faith gives me an understanding of how to live. It teaches me morals and values. It teaches me how to interact and how to be a good, productive human / Samaritan / citizen. And you know what her question to that was, Carl? But how did faith take ownership of all those things that you just enumerated? The world had those things. We know our values and morals. We know how to be good. We know what is right from wrong, what is good from bad, what is productive and what is counterproductive. So how can you tell me and prove to me that faith is the one that has sole ownership on these things, that you could say that this was from faith? And I couldn't answer that, Carl. I really couldn't. Because you could say, well, because God said so, or because God said in the Quran, or he said in the Bible. But as I reflected on this post our conversation, it started making sense to me. Why do we, as humans, why was it the norm to open the door for someone? Why was it the norm to say, excuse me and thank you? Why was it, and remember my words I'm using here, listeners, was it? Why was it the norm to eat with your right hand? Why was it the norm to shake with your right hand? Why was it a norm to take off your hat in respect? Why was it the norm to allow someone to go before you? Why was it the norm to reach out to an elderly person and ask them if they need assistance? Why was it the norm? It was a norm, in my understanding, because all religious and holy texts had taught us these values, that when they all came together, they became in sync. And thus, we did these things, and it became a custom and a tradition. And ultimately, we forgot what was the sole reason behind us doing what we did. I'm using past tense, Carl, is because as I started reflecting on her question, it brought to light that we don't no longer say excuse me or thank you. We no longer see people eating with their right hand or shaking with their right hand. It's become a norm in many places, in many settings, where people do the opposite. So what came to my mind was, it's the fact that we have devalued faith and that we have eliminated faith from the grand picture, and we've stuck it on the sidelines only for it to kind of fall off the edge very soon, that we are now seeing the absence of those morals and values. And you know what it took for that to happen, Carl? It took for me to see it from the grand picture. It took it for me to kind of step back and realize something that I wouldn't have realized otherwise. And you know what, Carl? It took me to realize the value of something that I took for granted. And that had to happen by me starting to see it being challenged as the norm in our society. So for that, Carl, and our listeners, today as we reflect on the closing of a very turbulent year, a year which was the hottest year in record, as 2016 was the hottest year in the record, as 2015 was the hottest year in record, and as 2018 is projected to be the hottest year on record. We're talking about a turbulent year where more people lost their health care. We're talking about a year where people lost their basic necessities to live their life, such as those in Puerto Rico. We have saw tragedies devastate cities like Houston that still have not stood up from that storm. We have seen people lose loved ones. We have seen an increase in rise in diseases and other things. Carl, in the call of all this, what would you do? When I'm saying these things, what comes to your mind?
Honestly, there's a lot of things that come to my mind. Like, we need to pray more and we need to do better as a society and as people, because, you know, realistically, 99% of the things you listed, even the fact that it's hot and it's getting hotter and things like that, it's our own fault. We've done this to ourselves. And so it's, we need to pray more for strength. We need to pray more for guidance. We need to pray more for our neighbors and our friends, but we also have to do better as human beings in being stewards for what Allah has left us, which is this earth.
And all that being said, Carl, is great. And I don't want the theme of this podcast to kind of continue to repeat itself, that we're always talking about this, but your points are 100% valid. But we know what it really calls for. In addition to all that you said and all that our listeners are saying, I'm sure, and whatever they're thinking, I'm sure it's 100% on point. But what's the tip of the iceberg here that starts us down the path of prayer and being more respectful and so on and so forth, is to be grateful for those things that pulled it away from us. I want to express gratitude. Let's talk about politics. I want to express gratitude to the Democratic Party for showing us what daylight cheating is about, for us to realize what trustworthiness is. I want to thank the Republican Party for lying from between their teeth for us to realize what truthfulness is. I want to thank us for President Trump, that he messed up so much thus far for us to realize the value of what we had. Understand the thing, we can complain, but we can flip it around and see something productive. If it wasn't for their untrustworthiness, if it wasn't for their lies, if it wasn't for their cheating, if it wasn't for them gambling the rights of the people, we wouldn't have woken up to realize truly what we have to be grateful for. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is amongst his people. Now, maybe some from them may say, well, he's here today and he's going to be here tomorrow. What's his value? But for those same people, upon his demise, they woke up and said, now we realize what we had. As a nation, as a people, as an ummah, the Muslim world and the greater world, we are starting to come to our senses and realize what truly a morsel of bread is worth, what truly a drop of clean water is worth, what trustworthiness means in a harmonious society, what truthful means in creating bonds of goodness. There is so much. So I want us to close this year of 2017 as we reflect on all the negative things that have happened and turn them around and make them the strategy for 2018 to restore the things that we took for granted by acknowledging that once we lost it. And we give gratitude to all those people, from political systems to the monetary system to the food chain, anyone, families, friends, whatever else. We need to start expressing gratitude that it was their ill conduct or their misconduct that allowed me to realize what it was that I had that I didn't realize was so important. You know, Carl, there was an ad made by a Christian group, a very good Christian organization that I saw on Facebook, and I want to share it with the listeners. A guy wakes up in the morning and he says, it's Christmas Day. What do we have here? He turns around to his spouse, and his spouse is wrapped in gift paper. Make sense? She's wrapped up in gift wrapping. Then two things run into the room, and they're wrapped in gift wrapping. And then he puts his feet down into slippers, and they're wrapped in gift wrapping. And then he walks out and turns on the light, and the light switch is wrapped in gift wrapping. He goes to the faucet to wash his face. The faucet is wrapped in gift wrapping. Do you know what I'm saying here, Carl? Everything that we have in our life is a gift. Our spouse is a gift. Our children are a gift. Electricity is a gift. I want our listeners to share with us if they've ever been to back home countries, which is considered third world countries, or they were born and raised in those countries, and they could recall a time when there was no electricity. It was the norm. Having electricity was like different. Oh, we got electricity today. But not having electricity was a norm. Having access to clean water for the day was something unique. Not having access to water at all was the norm. So what happened is that we are looking for bigger things and better things and things that will appeal to our carnal desires of more and greed and want and to stay relevant, that we have forgotten that our parents are a gift, our spouse is a gift, our children are a gift, the pets and our animals are a gift, the electricity is a gift, water is a gift, the shoes that we wear on our feet every day are a gift. Carl, there are people in the world, they don't have shoes on their feet. I remember in Morocco, we were in a village somewhere, outskirts of cities. I forgot which area it was. It's been at least 20-something years. And they wanted us to play soccer with them. And the soccer over there was on the sand. There were some rocks and stones. And it was a small net, the size of maybe 2 feet. 2 feet is the size of the net. And what happens is that you play with a ball, no goalkeeper, and you score. And guess what, Carl? They all had no shoes on. And we walk into our garage and we have thousands of pairs of shoes. Now, I'm not going to go into saying express gratitude for what you have in your pantry and fridge. We talked about that before. But we're going to give thanks today for all those people that became instrumental in stripping us away from all those things that we took for granted, including Betty DeVos, our education you're laughing. Even Betty DeVos, because people like her made us realize the value of knowledge and education, right? And with that, we make a strategy and a plan for 2018 to restore those goodness and then to preserve all those things that were taken for granted that are truly goodness in our world.
So the reason I was laughing is I'm a backwoods boy, you know. I know we probably don't talk about this much and we haven't covered this much and it's not real. I don't broadcast this, but I was raised in the country. You know, the big joke that I always tell people is that you know, where the Army Special Forces goes and does their foul weather training for winter, I actually lived there year around. So it wasn't foul weather training. It wasn't how to survive in the winter. That's where I lived. That was my house. Mm-hmm. And so when Betsy DeVos came out, and this has been burned into my memory for all eternity at this point. Do we need guns in school? Yes. Why? Bears. What? Mm-hmm. Bears. I'm like, no. Bears don't come into the school in the country. That doesn't happen. So yeah, that's why I was laughing, because putting guns in schools because of bears isn't a, and of course it also calls back to the old Saturday Night Live routine. Duh, bears.
And, you know, Carl, as much as we laugh and as much as we reflect on, the stupidity and how low we have fallen as a society, sometimes the pull comes only for us to yank it back. And I believe 2018 we're going to yank, and we're going to yank hard, and we're going to yank together, because our society, its stability, its future depends on who: Muslims, Christians, Jews, straight, gay, black, white, Latino, immigrants, non-immigrants, citizens, illegal aliens. What does it depend on? It depends on all of us. It depends on all of us coming together. It depends on all of us demanding our rights. It depends on us reminding those serving us that they serve our interest, not their interest. It goes down to us taking responsibility of ensuring that we don't abuse a system, but we actually make the system work and make it work for all. We make sure that things like Social Security last for generations to come. We make sure that those who are struggling and they're between a middle-class society and possibly falling below, that chip is still there for them. For those who are struggling to bring food on the table, food stamps are still there for them. There's so much happening in our nation. Overnight, I saw one night on a live stream of ABC News in Chicago. Overnight, a week ago, they canceled everyone's food stamps in Chicago. There's no money left. There are cities that are canceling their CHIP because it's not going to be funded anymore. And CHIP is a children health insurance provision, which kind of supplements for the health insurance. That's gone also. People are losing Section 8 housing. This is not a world that we want to live in, that until it doesn't bite us in the rear, that we're going to realize what's at stake. So we do express gratitude tonight for all those that made us realize what the value of what we had is. And we are going to move into 2018 ready to go as a nation, as a people, as one world. See, the beauty of Islam to me and to us is that it allowed us to understand and share that value with each other. It wasn't exclusive to any one faith or any one people or any one social status. And that's exactly what we have to restore. So this, what I just discussed with all of our listeners tonight, is the answer to her question that how can faith take ownership of values and morals and all the righteousness and truthfulness and trustworthiness when human beings have had it all along? How could anyone take ownership of that? Well, we've seen with the decline in acknowledgement of what faith truly brings to the table, we have come to realize in the absence of those things what the value truly was. So thank you, President Trump. Thank you very much. Thank you, White House. Thank you, everyone, for allowing us to realize how important this country is to us all and how important each person is. And I call on our non-Muslim listeners tonight, especially those who are celebrating this Christmas festivities and the season, and for those celebrating Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, that as we rejoice amongst each other for what our faith gave us, let us take those things and give it to each other without exclusivity that this is a Christian thing or a Muslim thing or a Jewish thing. This is the human thing. And that's exactly what faith and the traditions of faith gave to the world. Human civility, love, compassion, understanding. Feed others before you feed yourself, and you'll feel more happy than the person who ate to their full.
I know you and I have talked about this before in the past, and I think I'm actually about to quote you as I say this, but in the past you and I have talked, and we've talked about the hadith that says, no one truly believes until your brother has for yourself, has what you would have for yourself, or something to that effect.
Sure.
But I know in one of the episodes we did, since we're doing a year in review, one of the episodes we did, you talked about the fact that it doesn't say, you know, your Muslim neighbor or your Christian neighbor or your atheist neighbor or your Jewish neighbor. It just suggests that the way it's written, that the person next to you, and it all goes back to, and I think it was even you, it may not have been you, but it was somebody definitely, where the hadith, where the woman, as it was explained to me as a convert, the prophet, peace be upon him, would pass by this woman's house every day and she would throw trash on him. Mm-hmm. Now, I found out later that the trash is a very bad translation, that she was actually emptying her chamber pot on him as he drove by. And then one day he drove by and she didn't do it, and he got off his horse and found her sick and cared for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the thing, is that we need to work together regardless of our background, regardless of our religion, regardless of our faith. We need to work together for, you know, a better society that we can live in, a place where perhaps the polar ice caps are not melting and polar bears are not starving to death and being placed on Facebook to make the entire universe cry.
Mm-hmm. And Carl, you just hit the nail on the head. As I said, as we're doing a year-end review, we're not trying to repeat and bore our listeners, but we want constructive points. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did say, you are not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. The brother doesn't constitute being a Muslim. It means a person next to you. The domino effect of goodness spreads far and wide, and the domino effect of evil and vice spreads far and wide. And yes, the ice caps are melting, and yes, the polar bears are dying of starvation. And you know what? As much as you and I are all hurting, and we're hurting when we sit down to pay the bills, and we're hurting when we're trying to bring food to the table, and we're hurting when we're trying to make sense of what's happening in the world, and we're hurting because we don't know if we're going to have a job in 2018, we need to realize that the devil has a plan. And remember, we talked about this before in our podcast series. In Islam, we believe there's only one enemy to all of humanity, and that is the devil. No one else, nothing else. It's the devil. He may use us against each other, but no one is the devil. The devil himself is the devil. So what the devil did, and I wrote this on Facebook a few nights ago, the 2017 goes in the books for the devil because it gave him the point. He's leading. Why is he leading? Because he successfully divided us. He divided us all. And fellow Americans and fellow Samaritans of the world, division isn't to any democracy, any faith, or any following of any group or any organization. Division is destructive. The devil has divided us all. And as much as we are hurting, we have to go a step forward and start being a sense of healing so that we can reunite, we can come together and regroup, and hopefully with our collective force, we can heal one another as we heal our world. It's not too late. It's never been too late. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, it's not late until the trumpet is blown. As for an individual, it's not late until the soul is being extracted from your body. There is still time. If you still have a breath in your body, you still have a chance to make the difference. And Carl, end with this thing you're talking about caring. Once a man came to the mosque and said to the Prophet Muhammad, I want to eat. I'm hungry. So the Prophet said, who will host this person? And a man got up and said, okay, I'll host him. He went home. He asked his wife, is there anything in the house? And she said, there's nothing. Are you crazy? There's not even enough food for the kids. Forget us. And he said, you want, put the kids to sleep. Let them go to sleep hungry tonight. God will give us tomorrow, but there's someone who's more needy than you and I and our children. Long story short, they bring the guy home. They had a strategy. They put the food in front of him, and they acted like they were eating. They actually hit the kerosene lamp, and the lamp went out. And so they acted like they were eating. He ate to his full the food of the children, which the children didn't eat that night, and the couple didn't have food to eat regardless. The next morning, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, got a revelation that they got high level of appreciation from the Lord. And they did this because they fed for the sake of God. They didn't want nothing from the people. So we need to do it because our motives drive us to do something good. We do it for whatever reason we do. And we do it believing because we are sources of good on this earth. Let's stop playing the blame game. Let's stop pointing fingers at each other. 2017 taught us that all we did was point fingers, but it didn't change the status quo. If you want to change the status quo, there's two steps. And with that, I finish tonight. Turn that finger that you're pointing on someone else 180 degrees. It points towards you. Now it tells you, you have a responsibility. What's number two? Get up and let's make a change for 2018. 2018 could be the year that we beat the devil and we make the world a better place, or it could be the year that the whistle is blown on the 94th minute of the football game. And football, I mean soccer, of course. There's four quarters in American football. And the devil walks home with a trophy. The ball is in our court, Carl. The ball is in our court. We need to decide what we're going to do with it.
So we always have a question of the week, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to summarize that into a question for you and our listeners. And I think the question of the week is simply going to be, in 2018, what are you going to do to correct the errors that have been shown to us through the works of the devil? And I lost my train of thought. I knew I had a good one, but now it's gone.
No, that's it. What are you going to do in 2018 to fix the train wreck of 2017? What are you going to do? We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your views. We don't want to talk about what someone's going to do, what someone's affiliation is going to do, what someone else is thinking of doing. What are you going to do to fix the train wreck of 2017 in 2018?
Very beautifully said. What are you going to do to fix the train wreck? I love it. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. Join us here weekly on Facebook Live on the Venn Network page. And we are actually live, and we're taking your questions. We're taking your comments. So I know there's a bunch of people watching this evening, and we're really thankful for that. But if you have questions, you have comments, you have thoughts you want to share, go ahead and chime in, because I am actually monitoring those as we go here, and I can feed them right to the imam. But thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for the downloads in 2017. Thank you all for helping us get nominated in like our first 2-3 months for a podcast award this year. Thank you all for everything that you've done for this little baby show to become what it is today. And it really is because of you guys. It's not something that we did. It's not something that was magical. It wasn't, you know, done by the fairies of the internet. This is something that you guys did, and for 2017, we're really grateful for all of that, and we're looking forward to what this show can become in 2018 and how we can grow and reach more people. And the easiest way to reach more people is if you just hit that little share button down here. See, and the camera should be right there. If you just hit the share button right there, it's the easiest way to reach more people. But you know, whatever. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we will thank you for joining us this evening, and we will say thank you for everything you did for us in 2017, and we will look forward to growing bigger and better in 2018. So from all of us here at Raw Islam with Imam Azhar, we will say thank you and Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, everybody. Assalamu alaikum.
Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.